The adult class, we'll have our lesson out here. I've got an announcement to make. I was wrong on the dates. And I appreciate Brother Vernon. I asked him to preach for me next Sunday, and he said no problem at all. And the Sunday after that, he said no problem, but I was wrong on the dates. It's actually this Sunday and next Sunday that I needed him to fill in, and I certainly appreciate him. What a brother. He said no problem at all, Brother Eddie. We'd be glad to take care of that. I've got to work tonight. I don't take no joy in saying that. But where I work at, they're trying to figure out how we can be off with our family because Christmas falls on a Wednesday. I don't agree with their decision. And just hope you'll bear with me and understanding that I've got to work tonight. And for that reason, I won't be able to be here tonight. I could definitely be here and leave here and make it to work, but I need to get some rest. I'm not young no more. Our Sunday school lesson this morning is in Luke chapter number 2, a New Testament. Our intermission in our lesson was about Jacob. We're going to go from Jacob to Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Everything points to Jesus in your Bible. I don't care where you're reading or who you're reading about, somehow or another, it points to Jesus. Our golden text talking about Mary is she brought forth her firstborn son. And that's important because she was a virgin. And wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Again, that's important. And laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Luke chapter 2 verse 7. Our introduction to this lesson, there are many things concerning the birth of Christ the world doesn't want to acknowledge. As a matter of fact, they call it the common error. They don't want B.C., A.D. no more. They call it a mistake. It was no mistake. God's time, He came. God's time, He died. God's time, He arose from the dead. To show Himself that He was not Muhammad. He was not Buddha. They're still in the grave. He was God. He got up. Paul said, if Christ be not risen from the dead, we're still in our sins. He said, let's eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we die. But He got up. He said, behold, I'm He that was dead, and am alive forevermore, and I got the keys of death. Amen. Hail, amen. When we see the Christ child in the manger, we see His humble entrance. One might ask, how could this be Christ? When we see the humble shepherds to whom the announcement was made, again, we might ask, how could this be Christ? He could have been none other than the Christ. Outside the realms of man's ability, it was very definite when they said unto you, this day is born a Savior, Christ the Lord. Consider the messenger, the angel of the Lord. Consider the message delivered, a Savior, Christ the Lord. This can be none other than Christ. Let us rejoice in this day, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just think about this. The messenger, the manger, the Messiah, here, right here. Paul talked about Paul's statement about the crucifixion. He said this thing wasn't done in no corner. Well, the birth of Christ was the same way. And everything revolves around Christ. I don't care how hard they try. I don't care how much effort they put forth. They're not going to race Him.
Amen.
Right. Bible says in Him we live.
Amen.
And move.
Yes.
And have our being. He's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living.
Amen.
Amen. All right, a lesson takes place in Luke chapter number 2, verse number 1. I always like this kind of phrase. It says, and it came to pass. I like that. That means this really happened. It came to pass in those days, Sister Carolyn, that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This is not unusual. We pay taxes today. But this was unusual in the fact that it had something to do with where Jesus was to be born. The same Almighty God used a Persian monarch through his restlessness to issue this decree to prepare the birthplace for his anointed. The Roman emperor, when the fullness of time had come, when Christ was to be born, Caesar Augustus issued this decree that all the world should be taxed. Who cannot feel God in this? Who can resist the conviction that God had from the very beginning that controls every movement of all humans, that Caesar Augustus, by issuing his decree, was preparing the way for the Ancient of Days? You know, God said about Pharaoh that he raised him up to make a name for himself in Romans chapter 9, verse 17. Verse 2 says, this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. This taxation is also mentioned in 4 of the first 5 verses of this chapter. That's how important this taxation was. Perhaps God linking together the transcendent of things to show the utter poverty of the one and the richness of the other. Verse 3 says, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Each person was to go to the city, you know, of his ancestors. Verse 4 says, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Now, the Bible had already said that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. It's a prophecy found in Micah chapter 5, verse number 2. And it had been foretold before Christ ever came into the world, not only that he'd be born of a virgin, Isaiah chapter 7, but also that he'd be born in Bethlehem, the city of David. This, by the way, was the only fitting place for the heir of David's kingdom. I don't know how much Bible you know, but David's seed was cut off. God said in the book of Jeremiah, right, this man, childless, seed was cut off. A lot of people think that there's no way that one could sit up on the throne of David, because God made a promise to David that of his seed there would not fail one to sit upon the throne. Now in the flesh, that was not possible. So God raised up seed of David, found in the book of Acts, also in the book of Matthew, talks about Christ being of the seed of David to sit upon the throne of David to rule and reign forever. And that's why he had to be born here. And the promises that God made to David and to his house, that his throne would be established forever in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, was only possible through Christ. Verse 5 talks about this, says that Joseph went there to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. How readily Joseph and Mary yielded obedience to this decree of this heathen emperor. Just think about your Joseph, your Mary. How inconvenient this was. You notice it said she was great with child. I'll never have and never will have a child, but some of you women have bore children. And when you're great with child, you're very uncomfortable. And it's not easy for you to make this journey they made. This was a hazardous journey. It was a 4-day journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. What woman ever undertook so hazardous a journey when so near her delivery? Think about how readily they yielded to this. That's a real blessing if you think about it. Verse 6 said, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. The whole world's history led up to this very night. The hinge on which the history of man turns, the whole mankind from Adam unto John the Baptist, had waited for this night. All the prophets labored to prepare the way for Him who came. The Word was made flesh through this birth. God descended to man so that man could ascend to God. There's no other way. Jesus said, I'm the door. I'm the way. No man can come to the Father but by me. Verse 7 said, and she brought forth her firstborn son. Now they say everything about Jesus. I'll take what God says over him more than what anybody else says. I don't care if they've got post-hole digger degrees. I don't care if they've got so many degrees or called Dr. Fahrenheit. I'll take what God says. Paul said, nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? If it don't base upon the Scripture, it ain't fit to question the Word of God. The Bible said the world by wisdom knew not God. The wisdom of this world is foolish with God. God winks at it and commands men everywhere to repent. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And that's still true today. There's no room for him today. Ask Phil Robertson about it. He's in the right kind of trouble. He's my hero right now. I'm going to comment on him several times today because very few people do what he did. He called it like it was. He ain't backing down. He's got them in a straight because they want the money, but they don't want the truth. He's got them. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I've got my eye on him. He's my hero right now. He's the right man. He's kind of like Esther that Mordecai said, for all you know, for such a time as this, you've come into the kingdom. He's that man. He's that man that they want the money, the millions, the dollars, but they don't want the truth, and he ain't go back down from the truth. So to get the money, they've got to figure out some way around that truth. They're already trying to compromise and say he only offended in one thing. Because they can't let the money go. I'm pretty proud of him. Christ was laid in a manger to show forth his humiliation. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. And he's born in the humblest shed, a manger. A manger and the cross are two extremities of the Savior's earthly life. Being thus laid in a manger, he did give an invitation to the most humble to come to him. You know, you might tremble to approach a throne. You remember Mephibosheth. Remember, he fell down when he was summoned to come to David. He fell down. Fell down at his feet. David said, get up. You're going to sit at my table, boy. You're going to dine at the king's table. But before a throne, you tremble. How's it going to go? Is it going to go well? I mean, if the king does this, it's a done deal. But Jesus made himself approachable. Born in a humble manger. Yeah. Humble. He said, you can come to me. I put myself down so you could come to me. Amen. He condescended, Linda, so we could know it's okay to come to him. We've got his invitation. We've got his welcome. Well, I guess it's a good lesson. He gives the invitation to the most humble to come to him. We cannot fear to approach the manger, but with that thought, have you got room for Christ? I have room for him, Brother Eddie, but I'm not worthy that he should come to me. That's a pretty good thought. That centurion, Luke chapter 7, verse 6, said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Verse 7, he said, neither thought I myself worthy to come to thee. That's okay. Jesus still met his need. Jesus said he never seen such faith in Israel Because the man said, just speak the word only. That's faith. He believed that Jesus could just speak the word and his servant be made whole. That's faith.
Right.
And that's the right kind of faith. He had faith in Jesus. Oh, says one, I've got an empty void. And I did too, until I got saved. The world can never fill that void. I don't know who all that was won the lottery, but that won't fill that void. You know, you could be born to a Bill Gates or Warren Buffett. That won't fill that void. You could have the best of everything, and there'd still be a void. And that void's important. That void is there to let you know there's something missing. There was a rich young ruler come running to Jesus. And he said, good master, what good thing shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? And Jesus gave him the ultimate question. Why call me good? There's none good but God. If he couldn't see Jesus as God, there was no seed going no further. He called him a good master. If you can't see Jesus as God, there's no sense going no further neither. Jesus, this is the ultimate question. Why call me good? There's none good but God. That boy sitting there talking to God and couldn't see him as God. Boy, the Bible says, the Lord said, how readest the law? And he said certain verses out of the commandments back there. He said, all these I've kept from my youth up. Jesus loved him. But he said, one thing lackest thou. Go sell all that you got. You ever sold out to God? It's the best sale you'll ever make. Best deal he'll ever do. He said, go sell all you got. Give it to the poor. You'll have riches in heaven.
Amen.
The Bible said he went away sorrowful with that saying. Because he had too much to hold on to and let go for God. The world's like that.
Amen.
They want the things of the world, but that void won't disperse. That void can only be satisfied when Jesus takes his rightful place upon the throne of the heart. He did that for me April 27th, 1988. I don't want nothing but him. They can take it all.
Amen.
They can have it all, Sister Carolyn. Sister, glory to God. My heart is so full because he filled it till it's running over. Psalm, it said in Psalm 23, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. He's that running over filling of that void. But you know, when I came to him, I wondered even myself, Sister Anita, if God could or even would forgive me of all I'd done. My heart was so foul. And the manger is kind of like that. It's a place not fit for Christ, and yet he took his abode there. Yet there never was a sinner that had been so great a sinner that his heart had been such a den for devils that the manger, even though it had been a place where beasts had been fed, that he wasn't ashamed to have that for an abode. You know, he won't be ashamed to take up his place in you. He can forgive. If you'll have room for him, he'll come and be thy guest, Charles Haddon Spurgeon said. Verse 8 said, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Notice that the first gospel message was sent to the poor, not to royalty, not to the learned, not to the Pharisees, not to the Sadducees, but to poor, pious, laboring men busy with their daily duties. The pedigree of heaven showed up. God's angel was sent to these men, and the gospel message for the poor is the gospel message for all men. God's not no respecter of person. Don't try to impress God. You know, I catch myself from time to time, and I don't mean to do it, but I catch myself from time to time, maybe you do too, trying to use the right words to talk to God. Trying, I guess, flatter him with words. We'd be better off just to talk to God with respect and humbleness.
Amen.
Jesus said he already knows what you got need of before you ever even ask.
Right.
Instead of trying to impress them with great swelling words, make sure they all sound just right and they all fit together, just so fitly joined together. You still down and just say, Lord, I love you.
That's right.
Just want to thank you for being so gracious to one like me, for being so forgiving, not so demanding upon me, but asking me less than what I can even give. How gracious he is. How approachable he is. Oh, Lord. He come to these poor shepherds, bestowed this great blessing upon them. To these shepherds came the most glorious revelation and the most glorious heavenly music. I can just, in my mind, I can just see this event. They're out there, and all of a sudden this interruption, an angel shows up. Verse 9 says, Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were so afraid. That angel came unexpectedly. You know, one day, Jesus is going to come unexpectedly. The Bible said in an hour, you think not. Just take, for instance, an angel showed up here in just a minute, just took the premise of this service and said, Jesus is going to come before 12 o'clock. For some of you, it'd be, oh, oh, glory. The rest of you, there'd be sweat break up on your brow. There'd be anguish in your heart, and trembleness and concern for your soul. He could very well come. He said, an hour, you think not. The Son of Man comes.
All he has to do is come and get you. He don't have to wait what I'm trying to say. He don't have to wait. Your time is over when you drop dead, so therefore you've gone one way or the other.
He is definitely coming, just like this angel came. This angel came unexpectedly with a sudden appearance. And when he came, the glory of the Lord shone round about, a radiant brightness expressing God's power, love, purity, His majesty, His eternity, omnipotence. This company of this angel showed God to be God, and that He was a divine messenger sent from God. And they were so afraid. You know, if an angel showed up today, it would challenge all of us in our mind. And we'd say, was that really an angel? Did I really see that? Did I really hear that? Well, they were given this discourse. What an awful fear will one day suddenly overtake the unredeemed dwellers on earth when the sixth seal mentioned in Revelation chapter 6, verse 2 through 17 will be opened. It'll be the last of life on earth. Everything will be destroyed. But this angel, he's not bringing bad tidings. He's bringing glad tidings. Verse 10, And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The angel at once tells them not to fear. Then he delivers these glad tidings. Oh, listen, a Savior.
Amen.
Jesus came for you and for me so that we could go to live with Him. He made His humble entrance so we could make our exodus. A Savior. With love and forgiveness of sins, the best tidings the world has ever heard, not only to these shepherds, but they said to all people, of all ages, of all nations, of all classes, of all colors, is this joy to everyone manifested. Verse 11, He said, For unto you, and you can put your name right there, unto Eddie Wade is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The Savior of the world, the Anointed One of God. Three names given to Him. Christ, Savior, and Lord.
Yeah.
Verse 12, the angel said, And this shall be a sign unto you. You know, the Bible said the Jews require a sign. And Therefore, because these words used, this angel said, and this shall be a sign unto you. They won't believe without a sign. Ye shall find. Those three words, remember that. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, if they went over there, and it wasn't like that angel told them, then they'd been told a lie and believed the lie and went over there for nothing. But they were told this. They were told that he would be found in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. And at this statement right here, just think about this verse. Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Just imagine this moment, right in this discourse, while this angel is even talking about Jesus, there's an interruption of exaltation. And I mean, they're going, woo! Glory to the world. And the world wants to suppress that. That exaltation, for just a second, the veil between the seen and unseen was lifted. The Bible will tell you, you see through a glass darkly. There's things right here in this church. I can't see them. You can't. They're here. I can't see the Holy Spirit. I can't see the unclean spirit. But I'll tell you one thing. Here, that veil is lifted. And this heavenly host is seen. And they're seen praising God. Amen. For this gift to man. Their first thought was God's glory for His unspeakable gift in the highest where God dwells. God's glory. Measureless constellations. And on earth, peace. You know, the earth can have peace. It won't come through a treaty. There can be no peace without Jesus. They don't want Jesus, Carolyn. Therefore, they'll never have peace. The Bible said there's no peace, saith my God, for the wicked. Wicked like the troubled sea, tossed to and fro. He took my troubled sea and made a great calm.
Amen. Amen.
It's been a great calm ever since. 25 years now, Molly. It's been a great calm. Because He came to me when the wind was blowing down on me. My soul was about to be consumed with conviction, with sin. He came to me and said, peace be still. And there was a great calm. All blessings amid all wars and contentions of the earth. God said, peace. The human heart, as restless as the sea, Jesus brings peace to the earth. Peace for everyone who desires it. Peace between God and man. This peace is such as the world cannot give nor ever take away. And then they put the capping on it, goodwill. You know God's will towards you is good. Somebody told me, if God's so good, why would He send someone to hell? God don't send people to hell.
Amen.
He stood between me and hell. He's the only reason I didn't make it. I was on my way to hell. If He hadn't stood between me and hell, I was as good as that. But thanks to Him standing between me and hell, Paul said as he journeyed toward Damascus, he says, I saw one in the way. Yeah. You better be glad one's in your way.
Amen.
His will toward you is good. He made hell for the devil and his angels.
Amen.
He said, I made heaven for you. Come and live with me in heaven. Don't go to that place called hell.
Right.
Every preacher tries to tell people not to go to hell. God loves them, wants them to come live with Him. World needs to know that God has goodwill towards all men. That God loved this sinful, rebellious, unworthy, ungodly world. The glad tidings are that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 15 says, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. You know, we can go out on visitation programs. We can compel people to come. But until they come, they'll always wonder. They'll always say, well, you know, that bunch of hypocrites over there, that preacher, he's too loud, too long. And you know, they don't wear the right clothes over there. And that bunch over there, they could care less about anyone. Won't you just come and find out for yourself? These shepherds said, let us go now. They wanted to prove that this was true. And at once, without delay, so should people also seek the Savior. They proceeded at once to go see for themselves. And so should everyone that's heard the message of grace and mercy should come and see for themselves and get saved and tell others of the Savior. Our last verse. And they came with haste. That's why you need to come.
Amen.
I couldn't wait till Sunday, Molly. If I could have, I would have. It was bigger than me. I couldn't wait, Brother Melvin. I got saved at home. I'm ashamed of it. I should have got saved Sunday. I didn't know how, but I couldn't wait till Sunday. I can tell you that. They came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They came with haste. They showed their faith in what they'd been told. They showed their zeal. They found everything just as it was told them, and their faith and obedience was rewarded. Verse 17 said, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They went out and told everybody. You ever tell anybody about Jesus? I try to do it as often as I can, more so instead of less. The wonderful story, the wonderful news, the things they'd seen and heard. The news was too good to keep. It belonged to the world. And those who have truly found the Savior want to tell others what they found.
Amen.
You can find that peace in Him. You can find that mercy, that forgiveness, that salvation in Him. I like that Sunday school lesson. Amen.